are back. I'm Jim Valley, you, and it's Saturday Morning Wrestling. What a week it's been as far as everything goes. Spent a couple of days in Charlotte having a great time at the very popular NWA Fan Fest. Always a fun time. Great prices, great job. And then after that, I went to Las Vegas. My wife had a convention there, so why not just hang out at a free hotel in Vegas and do nothing? So, heck, who cares, right? Why not do all that fun stuff? But we're here, we're back on Saturday, and everything is back to normal as we are live from the shores of Lake Washington, or as close as I can afford to get there. It's Jim Valley. We are live from the treehouse this morning here in beautiful Kirkland, Washington, and we have got a show for you today. We are going to talk a little bit more about NWA Fan Fest just because it's so many technical problems. I don't know. I think it had to do with the hotel Wi-Fi, but it is what it is. And so we will deal with that coming up in a little bit. We'll talk with Greg Price, the promoter of NWA Fan Fest. We'll talk to him. And not only that, we will talk about everything that happened. We'll talk about just old school wrestling. And you can always dial up at 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828, or you can tweet me at Jim Valley, or always as email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. It's Saturday Morning Wrestling. It's the show where we forget all about SmackDown Live and its ratings. We forget all about the Matt Hardys and the Billy Corgans. Oh, wait, what? You already forgot about them? Never mind. But at the time where we delve back into your past when, as my friend David Wills would say, it was still real to you, damn it, because it is real to you, as we talk about the days gone by, 80s, 90s, even dig into some early 2000s, and even go back farther sometimes. It all depends. I think we can talk about a wide range of wrestling and wrestling shows. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for being part of the live cast, and hopefully you will call in and participate. But does my voice sound weird? Because I feel weird. A little sick. I don't know. I think it was just too much activity between Charlotte and Vegas and stuff. I don't know. There's something about the air in Vegas that always gets me. I don't know if it's the air conditioning or the desert air or the fact that it's like 120 degrees radiating off of all of this stuff, but I got a little sick, but that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Feeling somewhat better, but not the greatest, but still not bad. Anyway, hey, what can we touch base on? I do want to talk about the very popular NWA Legends Fan Fest, and gosh, what a great time I had as far as that went. Jeez, what a lucky time. As you know, if you're a listener to the live cast, that the past couple of weeks I had on Magnum T.A., who was great, and Austin Idol, who does not do a lot of interviews. He's the great White Panther. He's quite a catch if you can get him, and I was lucky enough to have him on the show, and we did a long interview, and he couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't have been more forthright, and we hit it off quite a ways. And I think what I didn't know is that those two interviews were laying ground for my whole crazy Charlotte Fan Fest weekend. So I show up at Charlotte after, God, I had a terrible flight. Seriously, never fly American Airlines. American Airlines sucks. They suck hard. So I'm flying from Seattle. I've got to connect my flight to Denver and then Denver to Charlotte. So as they're closing the door and having you turn off all your devices and all that stuff, I get a message that my flight from Denver to Charlotte has been canceled. So there's nothing I can do about it because the door is closing. And I'm like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. They'll take care of me. They'll get me a room. They'll buy me a meal. I'll get some miles. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but we'll make it work. So I arrive in Denver, I don't know, around 11:30 or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. And I go to the clubhouse, the American Airlines Club, and they tell me, nope, you got to go downstairs. Yay. So I go downstairs, and apparently the stupidest flight in the world is leaving Denver at that very moment. Because everybody in the world working at American Airlines in Denver is dealing with this flight because they've got to get it out and they're just having all of these problems. I kid you not, it took them an hour, probably more. Oh, we got to get this flight out. It's got to go. It's got to go. An hour later, I'm still waiting. It makes me angry just thinking about it. So I'm like, hey, you know, is there anything you guys can do for me or anything that can happen? And I'm like, they're like, oh yeah, just go get a hotel and we'll reimburse you. And I'm like, yeah. I was not born yesterday. I know how that's gonna go. So they have no vouchers in their system. They can't give me any miles. They don't have any meals for me, and they're all too busy to help me. Nobody can help me. So it's like 1:30 in the morning now, and I finally booked like a 6 a.m. flight. And I'm like, okay, there's no point in getting a hotel now because I am going to go to my room. I'm going to stay there for about 2 hours, and then I've got to be back at the airport. So I'm like, yay, I'm stuck here at the airport. Oh, did I mention I hate American Airlines? Because I do. So American Airlines, after canceling my flight at the last minute, making me wait 2 hours before there's any sort of plan in place, then gives me absolutely nothing. I ended up sleeping on the floor in the Denver airport because, one, it's 1:30 in the morning and all the good spots are taken. As a matter of fact, the Denver airport, if you live in Denver, your airport is terrible. I'm sorry. But they have put armrests on every chair. Every airport in the world I've ever been at leaves a few spaces where if you need to, you could lay down. But it's impossible to lay down on a bench on any of the seats in the Denver airport because it literally has every seat has got armrests. You can't lay underneath because there's no room there. You've got to lay on the floor. And again, it's 1:30 in the morning, so any spot that looks even remotely comfortable has been taken a long time ago, and anything near an outlet, of course, is long, long since gone. So I lay there like a loser among potato chip crumbs, at least I hope they were potato chip crumbs, on the floor of the Denver airport. And I never slept at all, and I'm laying there like I'm an old-time carny worker, like I'm the honky-tonk man. So finally I fly out. I get into Charlotte at like 1 o'clock, and I've just so I take a cab. It's literally like $40 to get it. It's like I didn't even want to deal with an Uber or a Lyft because I'm just like the way my luck's going, they're gonna be late or something. I just know it. So I just bought a cab just because it's right there, and I don't want to screw with anything. So I get to the lovely Hilton, the University Hilton in Charlotte. I'm tired, I'm grumpy, and I've got to do Pat McNeil's show on that Wednesday, a live cast. So I get to the hotel, and they were told to have my room ready, that it was going to be an early check-in, and they don't, but at least they're nice enough to give me some vouchers. And I go in, I have a little snack at the hotel bar, and I have a couple of free drinks, just Coke and stuff, because if I have alcohol, I'm going to be under for a whole day. And so I finally get a room, I shower, I lay down, I just got to rest my back, and I feel a little bit better. And we go out and we get ready for the big show, for the live cast. And to bring him in where he comes into my story is my dear friend, and I do appreciate him greatly. And dear friend and former radio loser. Joining us now is the multi-talented Britt Whitmire. Britt, how are you, man?
How dare you? I'm still a radio loser.
Oh, is that what you are? I thought you were a podcast loser.
No, I will always be a radio loser, Jim. Once you have that taint on you, you cannot wash it off.
Oh, okay. So that's the way it all works then.
That's
fair
exactly
enough.
Exactly right. I'm enjoying this promo that you're cutting against American Airlines. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I hate America. If Wade Keller didn't make me be minivan friendly, I'd be saying a lot of stuff about American Airlines. But yeah, I not a fan. Not a fan.
Still very effective using the PG-13 language, Jim.
We're trying. We're trying, but it is. It is what it is. It's all I can do. So, anyway, so we try to get set up for the McNeil show, and I don't know. It was just one of those things, man. The stupid hotel Wi-Fi, I think, was the problem, and it was just not fun. It just sucked. I was so frustrated. It was just annoying. And we try. We get an A for effort. I think we get an F for
execution.
We try.
Well, much like my radio career, particularly the last 2 years, everything was working against me. I was completely, and you were as well, set up for failure.
Yes, we were. Oh, well, such is life. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
But we still had fun, and I got to meet you, and we got to hang out for a little while, and we got to make fun of Bruce, and then Bruce and you and I all had fun, and I introduced you to some North Carolina barbecue, and we swapped some stories and had some good times.
Yeah, you know, we went to Bubba's Barbecue, which was not terrible. I'm not really used to did we have Eastern Carolina barbecue? Is that what we had?
That was Eastern-style barbecue, which, for you listeners, we have two dominant styles of barbecue in this state. One is called Lexington or Western style. That is just the shoulder, and it has a kind of sauce that includes ketchup along with, like, some apple cider vinegar and some sweet stuff and different things. And then you have the Eastern-style barbecue, which is the whole hog, and the only sauce they use on that is apple cider vinegar with some pepper flakes in it.
Okay.
So those are
your
different
favorites.
If people always dodge this question, Jim, people always are very politic about this question, but I'm going to tell you, the Lexington-style barbecue is my favorite because the dark meat is so delicious, and I've actually cooked it, and it's easier to cook because it's harder to dry out because you got all that nice, fatty, dark meat, and you got that bone in that shoulder. So it's not quite idiot-proof, but you have a much larger margin of error when you're cooking it than you would in cooking the whole hog. I am man enough to admit that cooking an entire hog is a tremendous art form that very few have mastered.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough. That's fair.
So what about wrestling? Are we supposed to be talking about wrestling and stuff?
Yeah, let's move forward. So we crank out a show as best we can. It is what it is. But what happens is so I'm not feeling well from going out with Britt, and that's completely my fault, if you know what I'm saying, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday morning, the fan fest starts in earnest, and I'm like, you know, I think, and the first thing on the agenda is a Q&A with Lady Blossom, Jeannie Williams, the former ex-wife, or the ex-wife, I guess, of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Lovely woman, very, very nice, and she's a lovely woman. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I want to see that, but if I miss it, not a big deal. Not going to sweat it. Not going to worry about it, but I'll definitely try to make it, but I'm not going to hang my hat on that. But I'm definitely going to make it. So it starts at, I think it was at 11, I guess it was. I thought it was 10, but I guess it was 11. I don't know. But anyway, about an hour before the show, I'm still
Yeah, that sounds right.
I get a text from Greg Pye saying, hey, can you do the Q&A for Lady Blossom? And also, can you get down here in 20 minutes? Well, I've got a shower. I got to get going. I got to do all these things. But, yeah, let me see what I can do. And so I shower, I get ready, The reason they wanted me there early was because Lady Blossom is from England, and she hasn't been in the United States in, gosh, 15 years, apparently. And so they want me to kind of help her calm her down and work with her and everything. And I'm like, no problem. I mean, it's not to brag, but if you're in radio, if you're in television, you deal with nervous people all of the time.
Right.
That's just what happens. It's just part of the deal. There's nervous people who don't like to either want to be on the air, don't like the way they look on camera or what have you. And I'm just like, this is not a problem. This is right in my wheelhouse. We can handle this. So I go down, I meet with Jeannie, I kind of pacify her as far as everything goes, and she's fine. I mean, everything's fine. She's totally cool. And so we get to the stage, and, you know, she's very nervous. She sits in the wrong chair. She's kind of fidgeting a little bit, but eventually we get her going, and it's, you know, it's no problem at all. She's as delightful as she can be. She's very, very nice. We tell stories about her career and about her life with Chris Adams and Billy Jack Haynes and Stone Cold Steve Austin and stuff, and it goes really well. So I'm done thinking, well, that was fun. I'm really glad I got to do that. You know, maybe some other things will happen. Who knows? A little bit later on, I got a text, hey, can you do the next one with Mickey James? And obviously, I've seen most of Mickey's career, and I'm really aware of her, but with the modern stars, they, you know, they have an angle a week. Things stop and start and go and everything. You know, I had to Wikipedia her just to make sure I didn't miss any.
Well, for example, see, this is where I think you're being a little hard on yourself. I think this is where you're being a little tough on yourself, because you know four or five things about her career, and you being the interviewer that you are, you can probably just work those things in and probably make an hour out of that.
Yeah, I kind of did. We kind of did. I only got her up to, after doing the questions and stuff, it's like Lady Blossom did not have a ton of questions, which kind of surprised me. And you know what else surprised me is that she told the story about how Lady Blossom, she used to work at World of Sport. She was like a ring girl at World of Sport, and how one day some handsome young man came up to her and introduced himself and said, "Hi, I'm Chris Adams." And someone in the front row, like, gasped. Like, they had no idea that she was ever with Chris Adams. And I was like, really? You just figured that everyone at FanFest knows as much about wrestling and has been wasting their life in front of the television watching wrestling as much as we have. So with Mickey James, I let the fans ask a lot of the more modern questions. I just kind of walked her up to WrestleMania 22, you know, where she got her hand raised, won the championship, and I figured that would be good. So then everybody else asked other questions and stuff, and she was fine. I mean, she was really easy. But so here's a story. So Mickey James, for whatever reason, was running late. She got to the hotel late, and then she was late getting downstairs to the green room, and she comes downstairs and she's wearing sort of like off-white linen pants.
Right.
And she's like freaking out, oh my God, I spilled coffee on my pants. And she's cleaned it up. You can't even really notice unless you're fixated on that area, on her thighs, on her crotch. So I'm sure many of the guys would have noticed. But she was under the impression that Jim Ross was doing the Q&A with her.
Oh.
And so she thought... Jim Ross was in the green room at the time, and she's like, hey, you ready to go? And he's like, I'm not booked. She's like, what? I've been promoting this all week that it's you and I doing the Q&A.
Oh, God. What a letdown.
And Jim, I don't know where you heard that. And so that's when I go up to you, Mickey, I'm Jim, I'm doing the Q&A with you. And she's like, oh, darn it. And I'm like, oh, like, you're the first gorgeous woman I've ever disappointed. Come on. But, yeah, Mickey James is not thrilled that I'm going to be doing the Q&A with her. Not afraid to tell me. So
but
we did.
She seemed
we did
to
that
be fine. She was fine with everything. I mean, and it turned out really well, and she seemed to be pretty complimentary to you after it was over.
Yeah. It was fine. I mean, she's one of those people where you can just kind of suggest things.
Right.
And then she will, she'll go 5 minutes on everything. I mean, she was, in that sense, she was kind of easy to block because I did kind of figure out after a while that she was about 5 minutes an answer. So after that point, I was able to just, you know, deal with it and move on. It wasn't that hard. So
It's 5 minutes per answer. That's what she. So it's essentially 1/10 of a Bruce Mitchell answer.
Exactly.
No, I was going to ask you, Jim, when you have a guest, when you have somebody you're interviewing that's like Lady Blossom, like Jeannie was, and they're a little nervous, what have you, is there a particular strategy you kind of go through to kind of loosen them up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you just reinforce that, you know, and I didn't phrase it with her this way, but essentially you imply that, look, you know, the audience is on your side. They're here to see you. So therefore, they're your friends. They want you to do well. They're supporting you. I mean, nobody, with the exception of a few people, I mean, usually when you go to an event, you know, gig, concert, Q&A session, anything, any sort of public event like this, you know, you don't want those people to bomb. You're supporting them. You know, you get that across. You get across that you've got their back, and that, you know, if they freeze up, you'll take care of them. You'll move them forward. You know, and I reinforce that, you know, I've seen all of her career. I've seen probably most of it, but I've seen, you know, a lot of her career. So, I mean, I could cover if she needed it, or I was going to be there for her. And she was nervous as front, but even as her daughter Cassie said, it was with her, you know, she was adorable nervous. She was adorable, and the way she was, you know, automatically makes you want to be on her side. So she wasn't even the hardest person with nerves I've ever dealt with. She was no problem with whatsoever. And again, everybody, I think it just took her some time to realize that everybody was on her side, everybody was nice to her, and everything was fine.
Well, I think what you're saying is very important, because a lot of times these guys get in situations, particularly when it's an interviewer they've never met, and the guy or the girl, whoever's interviewing them, gets in a position where they're trying to put themselves over. They're trying to go in business for themselves. And I think it's so important to, like, let them know, yeah, we're on the same team here. I'm not trying to put me over and come out of this thing looking like $1 million. We're both – it's going to be a good interview if I do a good job and you do a good job. And I'm, like you said, if you tell them – I'm going to be there for you. That's great. I always thought it was very helpful if you could do it to try to make them laugh at something, just to kind of get their mind off of it. If there was some way for you to crack a joke or make a comment about something silly or something of that nature, something self-effacing, that seems to kind of like get their mind off of what's going on and kind of loosen things up a little bit.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, and you know, there were different, you know, there were a lot of different interviewee styles this weekend. You know, Tony Schiavone, you know, because you and I are radio guys, it's been drilled into our head to keep it short, keep it, you know, light and bright, and have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And all of Tony Schiavone's stories had a beginning, a middle, and a punchline. He, we'll get into it later with Greg Price here in a few minutes, but he killed it. You know, Jimmy Garvin kind of moved very quickly through his career. You know, after the first couple of questions, he was already pretty much retired. He jumped around a lot, which was a bit of a challenge for me. You know, Magnum TA is great. He's done it a million times. He's a solid pro. He's very, very focused, and he's no problem at all. And then let's see, who else was there? Oh, Austin Idol. You know, he's a storyteller too. So I mean, you know, there were a lot of different styles and different things to work with, and as you know, Britt, you've got to adapt yourself to that. And that's the other thing. When I went out to Cauliflower Alley in Vegas this year, they did the last minute thing with announcers. They had Gene Okerlund, they had Jim Ross, they had Lance Russell, all in this panel, and Jerry Lawler. And the notorious Dr. Mike Leno was the host for this thing, and he talked 40 minutes of the hour, which
right.
is completely wrong. With those guys are pros. They can talk. You just set them up and let them do it. They know what they're doing. I mean, he introduced Gene Okerlund, and hey, then you did this, and then you did that, and then you did this, and you did this, which led to this and that and this. And he went on for like 10 minutes, and he goes, can you tell us about that? And then finally, Okerlund was obviously and rightfully so irritated. He goes, you already told everybody, pal. And then eventually Okerlund got up and left. And, you know, my philosophy is, and Leno apparently, I don't know him at all, but apparently he's notorious for that. But,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, it's like, I'm not there to prove I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm not there to do it. I'm just there to have the best interview you can. And, you know, it was funny. I mean, so many people, and I don't mean to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but everyone was so nice at the fan fest saying what a great job I did because, you know, I have the Carson philosophy. And the Carson philosophy is if so-and-so does a good job, I'm going to get credit anyway. People always said, you know, not did you see Robin Williams? He was so funny on Johnny Carson. They would say, you know, did you see Carson last night? So, I mean, that was, you know, I just wanted all those people to shine and do the best job they could and see what good stuff we could get out of them. And I think in that regard, we were successful. So I was very, very happy about that.
No, I think you're a very good interviewer. I've told you this before, listening to the Saturday morning show. And I'm so happy for Tony Schiavone. I'm so happy that he's able to feel the love from the fans, because I know for a long time, I think he was conflicted about the way things ended because things were so horrible for the last 2 or 3 years, especially at WCW. And I think people gave him a lot of crap for that, but I'm glad that he's rebounded. And the past couple of years, he's come out and done more wrestling stuff. And he understands now that the fans really want to see him and say hi and shake his hand and hear his stories and thank him for all the work that he did.
He was hilarious. He was so funny. Well, look, man, I appreciate all of the work that you did. You're great. Anytime you need anything, you let me know. I got to take a break, and we'll get Greg Price on here in a little bit.
Thank you, James.
But they need to, by the way, they need to follow you on Twitter at Britt Whitmire, and also
yes,
at Live Alive.
Katie Vick Alive is the Twitter handle, at Katie Vick Alive.
And how could they find your shows?
iTunes, Stitcher, wherever greater podcasts are served, or go ahead and just search for Katie Vick is Alive. It's very different from this show. It's very adult, so this would not be appropriate for minivan listening. So make sure the kids are tucked away and check out Katie Vick is Alive. And this week's guest, the great Bruce Mitchell.
Talking about everything. I heard the show. It's a great show. So yeah, definitely. Bruce Mitchell, always a great guest, and you guys have a great chemistry. So everybody check out Britt Whitmire. And if you tend to be a little more left-leaning in your politics, you can't go wrong with the Brad and Britt show. It's incredibly entertaining. If you tend to be more conservative and you like to be angered, also listen to Brad and Britt show. It's a great, great show. It's very entertaining. And that's the thing is, like, they get that it's supposed to be entertaining. So give it a listen either at bradandbritt.com or listen to Katie Vick is Alive if you are a wrestling fan.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, my friend, thank you. I will talk with you later. The great Britt Whitmire joining us there live. All right, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we are going to talk with Greg Price. We'll run down the Fan Fest, all of the happenings and some of the great moments and all of that stuff. It's Saturday Morning Wrestling. It's Jim Valley, and we are here live, and we're brought to you by LootCrate.com. Loot Crate. Every month, you get a cool box of swag delivered right to your door, and you can check out all of the cool stuff, whether it's Star Wars with Rogue One coming up, or Marvel Avengers, or any kind of zombies, or any kind of stuff. They have a theme each and every month. It could be Nintendo, it could be Sony, it could be pretty much anything. And right now, if you sign up at lootcrate.com and enter the code PWTORCH, you get $3 off at Loot Crate. And also, what's cool, I don't know if you saw it in the news a couple of weeks ago, but Loot Crate has made an exclusive deal with Star Wars. So the only cool Loot Crate, the only cool crate you're going to get stuff every month, and you're going to get stuff from Star Wars, is Loot Crate. So check it out. Saturday Morning Wrestling, Jim Valley, PW Torch Livecast. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else. Live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched. And so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you. If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
It's Jim Valley, and we are live each and every Saturday morning. Thank you for joining us and hanging out and just doing that thing that we do. It's just super fun. Anyway, hey, joining us now, and I appreciate him doing this, is the founder, I guess, of the NWA Legends Fan Fest. He does this each and every year. Joining us live now on the phone from the North Carolina, I guess. Greg Price. Greg, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Jim. Great to be with you.
Great. Hey, how are you feeling now? Does the whole Fan Fest take a lot out of you?
That's an understatement, Jim. I'm still recuperating. It's tough. It's hard for folks to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine how you can go for days and days and days without sleep. Jim Cornette said during the Hall of Heroes the other night that FanFest was a huge sleep deprivation project, and I believe that, and I have that for a couple weeks leading up to it, a week or so after, but sooner or later I'll be out of my zombified state and back to normal. Back when it started, it was just 2 days, and people came from all over, and I mean, I sort of had a hunch going into it that, you know, there was a lot of people that liked the same, you know, thing that I do, old school Mid-Atlantic wrestling, and that's what that first weekend was, and just blown away by the people that came from all over, you know, drove 12, 13 hours, you know, flew from everywhere, just to be a part of that that first weekend. Here we are 12 years later, and it's grown into 4 days. A lot of people make it their annual summer vacation, and you know, it still is about the wrestling. It's not specifically about Mid-Atlantic wrestling as much nowadays as it is, you know, the entire NWA wrestling, but still have folks, you know, that are come from all over, and we truly are, you know, part of the family. It's grown into, if anything, a big family reunion of sorts, and it's a quite remarkable feeling to be, you know, in a hotel atmosphere, you know, our own little city type atmosphere, and everybody loves the same thing you do. So it's an experience, and I hope everybody gets a chance to you know, be with us when they can every summer, first weekend in August in Charlotte.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because there was talk, as I recall, of you maybe doing the last one, and people said, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong and correct me, but people were saying that, you know, gee, maybe we've taken it as far as we can go, and this is all we can do, and people were like, no, don't, we still want that. And mainly, you're right, it is very much like a family reunion. Is that a fair statement? So you talked about wrapping it up and not doing anymore.
Well, I mean, we all have that sense, you know, when you're involved in something and you're trying the best, doing the best you can, and for whatever reason, you know, economy, you know, folks don't, you know, the old Paul Bosch thing, you know, folks just don't want to see what you're putting out there. You know, whether it's a combination of that, the economy, or whatever, you know, there are lean times, even in the FanFest promoting business, and with the situation like we're in, we have no big sponsors, we have no big you know, corporate entities that are writing us checks, you know, for us to be able to put on FanFest. I'm a fan just like every single person that comes to Charlotte each August, and we all pool our money, you know, whether it's in buying a VIP pass or buying photo ops or autographs or whatever, we all pool our money collectively to make this thing known as FanFest happen each year. And it's, you know, now is as important as ever, you know, for as many people to be involved in that. I think we have the, you know, the very best old school wrestling weekend of the year. There really isn't another. There are others that do different things and, you know, different genres, but for a 4-day old school wrestling FanFest is it. And I hope folks will be supportive. You know, I'm certainly willing to do whatever I can to make sure it survives and sticks around for as long as we possibly can. But in the end, it's ultimately a financial thing. And if, you know, folks don't support it, you know, then like other things, it'll go by the wayside.
But right now, I mean, you've already planned for 2017, so it doesn't sound like that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, I don't give a. I'm not trying to sound doom and gloom either, like we're getting ready to pull the plug. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's just, you know, it is important, you know, I believe, for, you know, the individual folks to, you know, to support us and support what we do. And I say we again, it's we collectively, all of us bands from all over, you know, 42 states, you know, plus several foreign countries that were here a week ago, you know, for one reason. It's all our love of old school wrestling, your Saturday morning wrestling. And, you know, as long as we can, you know, still, you know, keep coming together first weekend in August every year, you know, I don't have any plans to go anywhere else.
Let me ask you this. Do you announced 2017. Does this mean that that you have ideas, you have plans? Do we have any idea who's going to be there next year?
I have ideas, but it's way too soon, Jim, to even really start considering what's going to happen for next year. I don't say that, you know, in a vague, cast-off kind of way, but it really is. I mean, after 12 years of doing this, you know, there are sometimes when I plan, have things planned, you know, 4 or 5 months in advance, and things just turn completely upside down, you know, in the business or something else, you know, something happens to where I look back on, I think, gosh, I'm, you know, glad I didn't commit myself to doing that, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, because the, you know, the whole atmosphere would be completely different by the time August, you know, middle of summer rolls around. So it's hard to plan for something, you know, a year in advance. We do have one thing in mind this year, and it came as a suggestion from three guys, and those three guys were Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Bob Caudle, that they do a Q&A on opening night next year. And I believe if there's any way possible, you know, for us to do that, you know, that is the one thing, you know, that should be a part of next year's Fan Fest. I say the one thing. Jim Cornette's live experience is there already. You know, I mean, that's a regular for us, late night, Thursday night. So in addition to, you know, Cornette's live podcast, it would be, you know, the Bob Caudle, Jim Ross, and Tony Schiavone Q&A, which I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing those three.
Oh, gosh, yes. Who wouldn't want to hear that? That would be amazing.
I imagine we could probably find a pretty good host for that, too.
You think so?
Jim, you're to be commended, and I want to publicly say thank you very much for everything that you did at FanFest. I have searched long and hard for 12 years of doing this and Q&As and different people hosting different Q&As, different people sitting down, you know, talking with, you know, the legends that I grew up watching on TV, and I've never had a person. And this isn't a personal knock at any of them. This is a compliment to you that I've never had a person that was, you know, more in tune to the subject, knew what was going on. It was a great interview. You know, you didn't put yourself over and above the, you know, the talent that you were talking to. You guys were both on the same level. And the people that were sitting in the audience, they took it that way. And I think just from the many that I heard from, and I'm sure that you've heard from as well, you know, I just want to thank you publicly for, you know, doing that short notice as it was, but coming off as the true pro that you are. And I definitely hope you'll be back again. That's a you have a rare and unique talent that a lot of people don't have. You know, a lot of people know wrestling. A lot of people know every little bit about wrestling, you know, that possible. But you've got a gift, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. And hope folks will check us out on the video on demand, and they'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I think they'll enjoy it.
And when does the video on demand drop from all the Q&As?
We're going to drop the first one tonight, Jim. The Lady Blossom Q&A that I heard you speak of earlier, we're going to put that out tonight on NWALegends.com. Free for everybody, just to check out. I want folks to be able to see, the production quality, not only from your standpoint, what we're telling people, they're going to see, but I want them to actually see, the film product too, and see the way that that this whole entire weekend is shot. You mentioned all the Q&As that you did, the Magnum PA, the Road War Animal, Jimmy Garvin, Austin Idol, Mickey James, and Lady Blossom. But we also have the nighttime Q&As, the Thursday night Q&As with Tony Schiavone, Jim Cornette's Live Experience, the Ringside with Jim Ross, wrestling matches on Saturday night, and the Hall of Heroes banquet on Friday night. The roast on Sunday morning of Ole Anderson, I mean, that's something, first ever attempt to try to do something like that. Some folks said, who in the world picks Ole Anderson? Well, why not pick Ole Anderson? He's the perfect person for folks to get up and, share their stories about. And all of that is documented in the video on demand from last weekend, FanFest weekend in Charlotte. And we're going to let folks get a taste of it tonight, watching absolutely free the Lady Blossom Q&A that you did on opening day. And then I hope the folks will sign up for the video on demand, lifetime video on demand. You pay one price one time, watch it forever. It never goes bad. But I hope folks will check it out tonight, see the production values, and see what we're all talking about, this new phenomenon named Jim Valley. And hope folks will check that out tonight.
You're too kind. I had a great time, so thank you so much for that. And, I mean, everybody could not be nicer. I mean, I did say this, and this is just kind of funny, because when Mickey James showed up, she was under the impression that it was going to be Jim Ross. And when she saw it was going to be me, she was like, oh. But, I mean, I don't blame her. Jim Ross is but she did a great job. I mean, every Q&A is great. And also, I would encourage people. Is the Hall of Heroes on demand, too? Did you cover that?
The Hall of Heroes is on the video on demand as well. Yeah. If folks weren't there, have no clue what we're talking about, our Hall of Heroes dinner and awards ceremonies, a big event on Friday night each year at FanFest. This year was, each year is very special, but this year was very special to me in that, of course, we inducted Dusty Rhodes into the Hall of Heroes. Magnum TA spoke eloquently about his mentor and his friend. And, of course, Dusty's wife, Michelle, and daughter, Tito, were here to accept and, speak back to the fans that were here and spoke, from the heart, and very much appreciated those folks being there. Also honored the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering. Jim Cornette inducted them with Ellering and Animal here. We inducted Baby Doll. Paul Jones inducted the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. And Bob Caudle inducted the Gateway Boys from the Mid-Atlantic Gateway. And it was a real special evening, and of course hosted by the Hurricane Shane Helms. All of the wrestlers that were able to attend were there, seated with the fans. So it's a real cool experience, and folks will get a chance to see that on the video on demand as well. Hope they were here with us in Charlotte. If not, make plans to be with us next year. But if you want to see what you missed or relive, the moments from last weekend, we hope you'll check us out on the video on demand on NWALegends.com.
Well, and that's the amazing part is for the Hall of Heroes. As you mentioned, Jim Cornette did an induction, and he's hilarious. He puts on a great performance. Handsome Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man, of course, he gets up there and he puts on a great performance. And that's what you want. Here's my point, is that at the end, with Dusty's daughter and Dusty's wife, and just this incredibly eloquent and emotional and just scintillating, heartfelt speech. I don't know if you want to call it a speech, but from Magnum TA, like you will never, ever hear. And then, you know, Dusty's wife and his daughter, they were only up there for moments, but I almost cried. It was so real and so touching. And it was, I think, I think it was the highlight of the weekend. I mean, you can't get any more real and any more emotional than that. I mean, and I would get the Hall of Heroes just for that. Shane Helms did a great job as MC. I think, you know, he was able to run the gamut from fun to serious to sincere. I thought he was a great host for the Hall of Heroes. And I think as far as, you know, the one price for streaming, I would put those Q&As up against probably any shoot video you're going to see anywhere that I'm aware of. And, you know, I think virtually all of it is family friendly, with the exception of Tony Schiavone talking about Ric Flair. But, you know, he was just talking about the topic. What are you going to do? But it was a great weekend. I had a great time. And, gee, it sounds like I'm coming back next year.
Hey, it'd be great, Jim. We can go ahead and announce that now if you want.
Sure, why not? Why not? As Tony Schiavone famously said, yeah, that's what happens in seats.
Just skip American Airlines.
Exactly. No kidding. But the other thing I wanted to mention is the wrestling you had, the wrestling card. What a perfect night of wrestling, as far as there wasn't too much. Everybody was you had George South doing all of his old school Carolina stuff, and the crowd just ate it up. You had Tessa Blanchard against Rachel Ellering in a battle of future legends, you know, with so much heritage behind their names. And then this main event, oh my gosh, so incredible. So it was Ricky Morton and his son. How old is Kerry? Do you know? Like 15 maybe?
He's a high schooler, so I'm guessing 16, 17.
Yeah, and then against Bobby Fulton from the Fantastics and his sons. And I think one is 15. Is the other one maybe like 11 or so?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so Bobby Fulton is the first one out with his sons, and everyone's cheering him. They're playing Sharp Dressed Man. He's cheering. Everyone's cheering him because he's a legend, and it's great to see him. And he comes every year, and he's, you know, he's part of the family, as I call it. Well, then, as he, you know, as he thanks everyone, and you know, he accepts his adulation, then suddenly he's like, you know, for years the Fantastics were held down and they were overshadowed, even though we're a better team. We were overshadowed by the rock and roll, and I don't want to hear anyone chanting rock and roll. And suddenly, with just a couple of words, he turns himself old school heel, and his kids were hilarious. He's got his one son, who I think wrestles under the name Fargo, who jumps into the ring and does this Fargo strut. And then his younger son, who's a small kid, he's skinny because he hasn't developed yet. But he's like in this black T-shirt. He's got these little buggy whip arms, as they say. And he's like flexing and pointing to his arms. And, you know, you'd think he was Paul Orndorff. It was so funny. It was so, so entertaining. And, you know, these kids are, you know, like the crowd starts chanting rock and roll. And the youngest son goes over and covers up his dad's ears. And they're just doing all of this old school stuff. And the crowd is just eating it up. And Ricky and Kerry come out, and they do a tag team match with you know, the two Mortons against the three Fultons. It was just tremendous. I mean, oh my God, those kids have got way too much charisma. I mean, it was so tremendous. And Mike Jackson, who's apparently 67 years old and is doing topes and doing the old school rope walk, and it's just a great night of wrestling. And there's, like I said, there's not too many matches on the show. It doesn't wear you out, and it's just a great time. So I think that's definitely another highlight that you need to see from the streaming, in my opinion.
Well, I appreciate the comments, Jim. It's the matches is probably one of the more challenging things over the year to, you know, to deliver what people want to see. And sometimes, you know, I've screwed up, you know, but it's FanFest. We have a different type of fan. We have all different types of fans. And the trick is to putting something out there that, you know, everyone wants to see and enjoys. And I'm glad you did. I hope a lot of, you know, other folks enjoyed the matches as well. It's different. It's a somewhat different card than we've tried in the past. But I think everything I've heard has been very positive.
Yeah, and you had the guy from the Bullet Club, Adam.
Adam Page and Ethan Case, great match there.
Great match there. They did great. I mean, so you had a nice mix of things. It was great that you had to, I missed it because I had to go out to dinner, and dinner went long with the terrible servers. But you had women's wrestling on the show. I mean, you had all kinds of great talent in that regard. And I mean, just the number of people who were there. I mean, the fabulous ones showed up. You had, as always, you know, Ricky Morton and Tommy Rich, and you had the Powers of Pain. And I mean, I saw, you know, I wasn't able to see as many wrestlers, but gosh, just every time I'd walk by the picture booth, I'd see pictures. I was like, oh my gosh, Rick Steiner was here, and Nikita Koloff was here, and Coco Beware was here. And, you know, you just have such a huge lineup. So that'll, you know, it's really a testament to, I think, to the fans of Crockett Wrestling and the old Mid-Atlantic days, your testament as a promoter, and of course the wrestlers for their love and respect for the fans.
Well, it is, we all love the same thing, Jim. It's old school wrestling. Here, of course, we're in the heart of Crockett territory, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. You know, it's our yearly reunion. Not only guys, you know, Bob Caudle and the Kernodals and the Mulkeys and Tully and Arn and Magnum, those folks that are here locally, you know, but we try to mix in, you know, other folks as well, you know, that are maybe not necessarily the old school Mid-Atlantic guy, but the Mickey James and Velvet Sky and folks like that as well. So hopefully we have a little something for everybody here, and hopefully we'll be around for a long, long time to come.
Yeah, and it's really a testament to you each year to find something new. I mean, you got Austin Idol this year, which was really the reason I came, because I'm a big Austin Idol mark. And you got, yeah, and I'm sure you heard this yourself, but I mean, I couldn't walk 20 feet without someone stopping me and telling me how great Tony Schiavone was. And it sounds like Tony's coming back next year. I bet he had a great time. And I think it's important, given, you know, the position Tony was put in by management the last few years of his career, that he knows that fans understand and appreciate him and remember him for all of those great matches and all those great memories.
Well, I think fans that interacted with Tony, or folks that have read any of the reviews after, anybody that spoke with him, seen any of the videos with him, they know that Tony had the time of his life here. And if they only knew that for 5 or 6 years I've done everything I could to try to convince him to be a part of our Charlotte weekend, for whatever reason, I think mainly his schedule. He does do, he's the voice of the Gwinnett Braves, the AAA farm team of the Atlanta Braves, and they're traveling the first week in August every year. But if folks really knew what Tony Schiavone did to be here, he spent the day and night with us on Thursday at FanFest. Was out there with Bob Caudle and Jim Ross taking pictures during the day on Friday. Had to drive to leave us, drive to Durham, call a ball game, drive the 3 hours back from Durham on Friday night, do his gig on the FanFest floor on Saturday morning, taking pictures, signing autographs, enjoying himself, another 3-hour drive back to Durham, you know, for the Braves game that night in Durham, and then the 3-hour drive back to be a part of the Ole roast on Sunday morning. So that's a schedule that not many people would you know, undertake just to be a part of FanFest. And I can't thank Tony enough for doing that, and you know, just not only being a part of it himself, but giving so many of us that, you know, hadn't had a chance to see Tony in so many years to reconnect and get our pictures taken with him and autographs. That meant a lot to him, you know, to deliver that to the fans as well. So, you know, can't thank him enough for being a part of our weekend. And I don't think, you know, nothing is in stone for next year, but I think he has every intent, you know, to be here with us again next August.
At the Sunday morning breakfast, I went up to Tony and I just reiterated, you know, what positive feedback he had gotten from the weekend. And seriously, you need to see this. He tells some great, great stories, and they all have punchlines, and he just had the crowd in stitches. And I go up to him and I reiterate this, that he was, you know, the hit of the weekend. And I didn't even think about it because he was standing next to Jim Ross, and Jim Ross was like, "Hey, what about me, buddy?" And it was just a joke. Still, I was like, whoopsie, probably shouldn't have said that right in front of Jim Ross. But what are you going to do?
That's what you get. The JR bring. JR delivers every time, too. You meant no disrespect, but JR is another guy, just like Tony, that can't think enough, does everything he can to help promote FanFest and FanFest weekend, everything about it, everything we believe in here. And every time, you know, he has a part of our weekend, whether it's his Ringside with Jim Ross show on Thursday night or hosting the Ole roast on Sunday morning, JR delivers in a big way, and you know, definitely proud and honored to have him a part of our weekend as well.
All right, Greg. Well, when is next the next FanFest next year? Do you have a date?
First weekend in August, same first weekend in August, 3rd through the 6th, 2017. Get your tickets now. Go ahead, nwalegends.com. The Hall of Heroes banquet on Friday night, and hopefully soon we'll be announcing the honoree for our Sunday morning roast for next year as well.
That's great, and it sounds like, unlike Dennis Stamp, I'm booked, so that'll be very exciting.
Jim, appreciate everything you've done and continue to do to keep old school wrestling alive and people talking about it. You're a great addition to FanFest this year, and definitely look forward to having you back. Thanks for everything you've done.
Anything, Greg. Hey, one more thing before you go. I want to mention that Bob Keller and his sound system and everything, that guy is a pro's pro and makes everything sound great. I've really enjoyed working with Bob. What a great, great guy, and what a great addition. And if kind of an unsung hero, but I thought that he had saved a lot of people this weekend with his ability to improvise and just being on top of everything. I was a big fan of Bob's.
I concur. There are a lot of people behind the scenes at FanFest that do all kind of things and get absolutely no credit. And Bob is one of them, and definitely glad you mentioned that.
All right, man. Well, you take care. Be in touch, and I'll see you maybe first weekend of August next year.
Thanks, Ken. Have a great day. Hope folks will check out the live lady, not the live, the free Lady Blossom Q&A tonight at NWA Legends, and follow the rest of the video on demand, and definitely curious to know what folks think after they have a chance to see it.
All right, man. There's Greg Price. Thank you, Greg. Yeah, nwalegends.com. Free streaming of the Lady Blossom Q&A. Jeannie Clark, the ex-wife of Stone Cold Steve Austin. She talks about her life with Chris Adams. She talks about her life in the Northwest, being married to Billy Jack Haynes. She talks about Steve. Talks about coming up with the name Stone Cold. All of those things. She's a lovely woman. And that's going to be free, absolutely free. So check that out at NWA Legends. And If you want, you can purchase everything all at once there at NWA Legends. All right, kids, I will see you next Saturday. Next Saturday, it's going to be Conrad Thompson of the Ric Flair Show. He was also at FanFest. We'll talk to him about everything, and I will talk to you next weekend. See ya. This is
Okay.